to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 83 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd, and the road to MIS is officially underway. It was an absolutely beautiful weekend here in Metro Detroit. Kicked back, relaxed, which was good because the wife and I, we got a couple busy weeks coming up ahead. My sister's getting married this weekend, so that's going to be a very busy weekend. Fortunately, that is Friday and Saturday, so I'll be able to be dialed in for the Glen on Sunday. Hope you guys had a great weekend as well. Man, we had a doubleheader Saturday, Trucks, Pocono, Xfinity, Iowa. It can be a little hard to commit to two races on a Saturday if you're home. If you're at the track and they're running the double sometimes, that's cool. But yeah, it was a little hard, but I did it. I was able to get both races in on Saturday, which was very cool. Got to hang out, like I said, and watch the race on Sunday. If you guys missed the Thursday listener call-in show, all I can say is that was an incredible time. I highly encourage you to go check that out. It was fun having call after call, talking with some diehards of the sport and the show on a variety of different topics. It went flawlessly. Everyone called on time, had some great conversation. So that will, without a doubt, be happening again. The only question is when, maybe a month or so, we'll try it out again. Big thanks to everyone that called in last week, too. So if you missed it, go check it out because it's not really race related or anything like that in terms of a specific race. It was some general topics and it was just fun to talk to you guys. I got a lot of positive response in terms of that. It was fun to listen to as well. So go check out last week's Thursday bonus show. It's also been a lot of fun doing 3 weeks of two shows each week with 3 weeks of bonus content there. However, this week, just the one show, just this one, episode 83, going to take this week off of an extra show because next week, episode 84, the usual Tuesday show, and episode 85 from the MIS Media Center. Got some fun stuff planned for that, so that's going to be a blast for sure. So, like I said, you guys getting your fill of Lap Traffic here over the last month or so, which has been a lot of fun. That said, today's show, MIS Track President Rick Brenner will be on here in a couple minutes to talk about the race at MIS. Coming up here in a very short couple weeks. Talk trucks at Pocono, Xfinity at Iowa, Cup at Pocono, social media shout outs. I got the new contest. I tweeted that out yesterday. Aaron will be on to give his usual weather report, your lucky dog, lap picks, wave around hotline. The show is packed. Let's get this thing rolling. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, making his fifth appearance on the show, track president for Michigan International Speedway, Mr. Rick Brenner. Rick, welcome back. How's the summer going?
It's going great. We've had some awesome weather here, and hopefully we'll get that'll continue through our big weekend coming up here, the 10th through the 12th in August.
Absolutely. All right. So speaking of weather, June race, Mother Nature decided she wanted to pay us a little visit. Fortunately, we were able to get both races in. Rick, even though we didn't get the full Xfinity race in, what was your take on the plate package that they ran? Did you like that at the track?
Well, I think I refer to it kind of as the all-star package, right?
Yeah,
because that's what they kind of ran down in Charlotte, and you know, it was a good race. There were a lot of lead changes early, so you know, I think I saw the fans enjoyed it. And really, at the end of the day, my opinion doesn't count. The fans' opinion counts.
Sure.
Fans' opinion counts. They count the most.
Yep.
So,
yep. I'm with you.
You know, it was our LTI printing 250. It was a great race, and and hopefully the fans enjoyed it as well. And I think, you know, the rain-shortened Firekeepers Casino 400 gave us a lot of action, too, as the drivers really knew that one wasn't going to go the distance and seemed to be pushing hard early. So we were fortunate, despite the weather, to have just a great weekend. And I do want to say I was really impressed and really enjoyed and proud of the fans that just hung in. A lot of people stayed in bad weather to watch the race. I think it was great. And the MIS facilities team did a great job getting the track ready in tough circumstances. So all in all, it was a great weekend.
You guys do an incredible job out there, sir. I can't say that enough. Okay, so Rick, you guys have so many awesome partners that help create some really unique ticket packages for everyone. If you're the guy that just wants to get his ticket, go to the race, you guys got him covered. But you've got some unique packages. If you want to go to Cedar Point, which is the world's greatest roller coaster park, you guys got a Cedar Point package, a food package, camping packages, Q&A packages. Tell everyone why the packages are so cool and go into a little detail about what you guys offer for everybody.
Yeah, that's a great question. So coming up this weekend, the first thing you need to remember is the 10th is the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup qualifying series. The 11th, of course, is the Corgan Oil 200, the truck series. And then, of course, the cup race on Sunday is the Consumers Energy 400. So you've got three awesome races. Now, every weekend, our Friday, Saturday is free for kids, and our Sunday is half price. But on top of that, we've got some great offers and special offers. They're all at mispeedway.com, and then click on MIS Deals. You get them all laid out. For this coming race, we've got a Martin Truex package where you can you get your ticket and you get your opportunity to do a question and answer and meet Martin. There's also a contribution going back to his foundation, and you're getting a hat from his foundation as well. In addition to that, we have it's actually Cedar Shores for this race, so the water park there at Cedar Point. We have free Cedar Shores tickets if you purchase two of our tickets. Or we'll give you free food. We also have a race party camp package. Starts about $160, includes a ticket to our Z-Deck and your camping for the weekend. So at the end of the day, the whole idea is to have something for everyone and to create value and added value with our partners to help help them grow their businesses. At the same time, give our fans a gift when they purchase tickets. And the other thing going on that isn't as advertised, because we do a lot of networking to get the word out, but our groups, we have a lot of group packages. Starting around $45, we have all-you-can-eat packages, which is your ticket to the race and all-you-can-eat for 2 hours for $85. We've got our Acceleration Club to add on. So there's a lot of group opportunities out there if you want to come out with a group of 10 or more, and we've got some special experiences that go with that, whether it's tram laps around the track, whether it's a simulated driver's meeting or holding the giant flag for the anthem. We've got a lot of great stuff for people to come out and enjoy.
There's no better way to get bang for your buck with the packages and what you guys do at the track. And that's just the packages. That's not even, we're not even talking about what you guys offer once you're at the track. Rick, talk about, there's so much to do if you're there for the whole weekend or the week even. The campgrounds, dueling pianos, euchre, yoga, concerts. Who are the acts performing during MIS weekend?
Well, this coming up, if you have a ticket to our Sunday race, the Consumers Energy 400, we have a free Cadillac 3, the Cadillac 3 and Logan Mize concert on Saturday night. We also have dueling pianos out here throughout the weekend. We're going to have the Superstars out here on Sunday. We've got a whole bunch of great stuff. We've got a performer, Brad Vander Ark, is going to perform on our pre-race stage for fans that are down there for the driver intro package. So there's a whole lot of great stuff going on, whether it's church in your campground, yoga, kids activities, bingo, all-night spring break style party in one of our campgrounds. There's just a whole bunch going on, and all that stuff, by the way, is free. Everything I just described is free.
That's so cool.
Come on out. We've got something for you.
Speaking of entertainment at the track, how awesome was that human cannonball to start the race in June? That I didn't know what to expect with that. That was really cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of funny, right? I didn't really know what to expect either, but then it was exactly what it was, right?
I mean, shot out of a cannon.
Guy in a cannon, and he shot himself, right? It could have been more easily.
And the cool thing was seeing some of the driver reactions on Twitter, like the social media capturing their reactions to it. Jamie McMurray and Kyle Larson, I remember seeing them. I mean, that was really cool. So everyone really enjoyed that, it seems. So that was really cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Just to remind everyone, this year is the 50th anniversary of MIS. Rick, back in June, I saw a bunch of people going in and out of the MIS 50 display area. Why should people go, and what will people find there as you guys close out the 50th season at MIS?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So Consumers Energy, again, stepped up to help us celebrate this year. They've got a second-to-none car display that's going on. We've got cars throughout the decades, again. Everything from a David Pearson 1969 Yankee 600 Ford Torino, a winning car here at MIS, all the way up to Greg Biffle's Pure Michigan 400 and 2013 Quicken Loans 400 Ford Fusion winning car. So everything through the decades, Richard Petty cars, Al Unser Jr., Rick Mears, Dale Earnhardt Sr. So a bunch of great stuff for people to come and check out.
That's really cool. All right. So this is going to be a big weekend for both truck and cup, but especially important for the trucks, the Corrigan Oil 200, second to last race before the truck playoffs begin. It's going to be some exciting on-track action there. My point with that is MIS is special in that we get both cup races and we get an Xfinity and truck race. And not every track that gets a cup race is fortunate enough to have both the truck and the Xfinity series there. How important is that to MIS?
Well, let's not forget we get an ARCA race too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Can't forget our ARCA friends.
Yes.
So, I think it's just great, right? The more we can give our fans, the more choices they have, the more opportunity to see this stuff. We're here for the weekend. We're set up. We've got great programming going on all weekend. So I think it's great stuff, and it's really about the fans. If the fans like it, they'll support it. If they support it, we'll keep doing it.
That's
so
awesome.
It's great to have stuff here for them to enjoy.
Yeah. Well, and I got to tell you, I am so excited to watch the Consumers Energy 400 there and watch the big three, Martin Truex, Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick race around that track at 200 miles an hour. That's going to be fun to watch those guys battle it out there.
That's going to be a lot of fun. None of those guys have won here in the past four races.
That is
right?
It's been
Clint Boyer and Kyle Larson exclusively. So we'll see how this place shakes out.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. All right, Rick, remind everyone where they can get tickets.
MISpeedway.com and check out MIS deals for our best deals.
Awesome. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, big thanks to MIS track president Rick Brenner for coming on the show. I hope to see as many of you guys out there as possible in a couple weeks. Rick, great talking to you as always, and I'll see you soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rick. We'll see you.
Take care.
So awesome being able to talk to Rick Brenner to help lead up and build up the MIS races each year. And it's crazy just to put into perspective all of the stuff that, you know, and I know it's not just MIS, but the tracks, they do, like Rick said, added value on top of just your value for the race ticket and the main attraction and reason why you're going, and give you a bunch of other stuff to do for free around the track is just so cool. So awesome and happy with the relationship been able to develop with MIS. Can't wait to get out there and do a show and hang out and watch some racing. So, all right. That said, let's talk some racing from this past weekend. Truck Series at Iowa. Todd Gilliland winning Stage 1. Stuart Friesen Stage 2. Kyle Busch starts first, finishes first. Wins his 51st truck race, ties Ron Hornaday's record. What a race, I got to tell you. It was a lot of fun to watch that race. I think having Eric Jones in that race, racing from the back, made that exciting. The fact that he replaced Noah Gregson. To be able to do that, that was a lot of fun as quickly as he moved up there. But all right, we'll get to that here in a second. Kyle Busch started on the outside, fell back to third on the first lap, but he was able to move back up to second in the tunnel turn by lap two. Busch gets the lead back early, Stage 1. Eric Jones up to 15th after starting last as the replacement for Gregson. Like I said, that's just remarkable. Brett Moffitt got to 10th with 10 to go in Stage 1 after starting at the back for an engine issue. But what a tough break for that for Moffitt and those guys. They ended up getting up to 8th when They had to bring it down pit road, pop the hood up. Their day was basically done. They took it back to the garage. I forget what the actual issue was, but it wasn't an issue that prevented them from going back out on the track. So they were able to go out, basically just log laps. But man, tough break for those guys, especially knowing that they had a fast truck. It would have been cool to see if that race would have come down to Busch, Jones, and Moffitt. That I think that would have been even more fun to watch. But needless to say, not so much. Kyle Busch started the trend at stage one with the truck race, short pitting the stages, and we saw that throughout the day on Sunday as well, which we'll get to that. Todd Gilliland and Justin Haley battled it out for the stage one win, with the win going to Gilliland. Fun watching that first stage, watching the guys come from the back there. It was a good first stage for a Pocono race. Really enjoyed it. Stage two, saw some two-tire stops. Sauter with a speeding penalty, very uncharacteristic of him. Eric Jones ends up getting up to third on the restart, quickly got to P2, and actually made the pass on Kyle Busch for the lead. Dalton Sargeant was the first to early pit stage two, and as expected, Busch and Jones short pitted. No stage points that they were worried about. That was all for the win there. Like I said, stage three, Moffitt was just out there logging laps. Joe Nemechek up there on the front row to start stage three was pretty cool. Sargeant, like I said, started on the stage. Busch back to the lead very early. 10 to go, Busch and Jones battling for the lead, which was cool. Jones was able to cut it pretty close there. But after a couple laps, Busch was just able to really just pull away with it. The one cool thing was with 5 to go, P4 to P7 were within a second of each other, which you don't normally see that at a track like Pocono. And Busch was able to build up to over a second lead with 4 to go and drove away with it. One thing that I forgot to mention at the start of the show was that not only was I able to take in all three races, live tweeted all three races, which was very cool. Sherwin and I had some cool fun exchanges going back and forth there, which was a lot of fun. And one thing that him and I were going off on was the absurd amount of laps and time and miles off these races that were wasted with the stage breaks. Something's got to be done in the offseason. I really hope that's something that they're addressing. I've talked about it before. Can we please not count the caution laps at the stage breaks towards the race? That'd be incredible. It just makes too much sense. Why are we counting these? Why were you going to count caution laps in built-in cautions? It's one thing to count them if it's for an incident on the track or debris. Totally get that. Fine, we're going to count those laps against the race total there. But why, when you've got a built-in break, why you count those laps? I just don't understand it. Those stages were so short to begin with as it is. 15 laps. It's crazy. Don't understand that. But I digress, as I know Sherwin does too. That said, over to the standings. Sauter still holding in first. Gregson in second. Moffitt in third. And that's how they sit with the point standings, except Gregson and Moffitt are flip-flop there for second and third. Only two truck races left before the playoffs begin in the truck series, MIS and Bristol. Those two will decide the eight trucks who will compete for the Camping World Truck Series Championship. Right now, Crafton is the first guy out on points if someone outside the top eight wins at these last two races at MIS and Bristol. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. A lot of guys are going to be trying to get that win outside the top eight because the points are just so far stretched. You know, Myatt Snyder in ninth, he's got a big point differential. Cody, Dalton, those guys have huge point differentials. So their real only shot is to get that win and race it in on that win and knock Matt Crafton and Stuart Friesen out. So it's going to be exciting to watch these last two races before the playoffs begin. But the trucks are off this week, so we get a break from the trucks before they head out to MIS here on August 11th. All right, over to the Xfinity Series at Iowa. All right, Cole Custer gets his first stage win of the season. Christopher Bell wins stage two and wins the race, his third in a row. I know everybody knows that the last driver to do that, and the last series regular driver was Dale Jr. when he was a series regular competitor. 1999 is last time a series regular won three in a row, but what I didn't know was which three races that was. So he did it at Dover, South Boston, and the Glen. Not even going to lie, I didn't know South Boston was a track. Went and looked that up. They ran two races, 98 and 99, in the Xfinity Series there. So a little tidbit of information for you. Who jumps out to the early lead? Mr. Elliott Sadler, who just cannot seem to piece one together here, going on over a year and a half without a win. Mr. Elliott Sadler, everyone, you know, it's got to happen, right? I assume maybe this weekend. Who knows? All right. Anyway, Sadler jumps out to a lead. Custer keeps pace early on. Cars were bouncing all over the track at Iowa to begin this thing. We get an early yellow with 41 to go for the 9 of Riddick, who's had a string of bad luck lately. Hopefully those guys are able to piece that together there. Fortunately, though, they do have that win, so they are pretty safe as far as that goes, but definitely not performing like you'd like to in the summer stretch here, if you will. Got a caution with 5 to go. The 40 blew up. Stage 1 ends under caution. Custer gets the win. 21, too fast on pit road. Sadler and Custer battled to start stage 2, which was fun to watch. We had a 4-wide battle at one point with Sadler, Custer, Bell, and Allgaier. But Christopher Bell is able to hang on and win stage 2. Custer and Bell challenging for the lead to start stage 3. Bell makes the pass with like 95 to go. We had green flag stops with 47 to go and a caution out for the 60 as he spun right in front of Christopher Bell. How Bell made that save, I've got no idea. It literally looked like he was driving through him. Sheets of paper barely fit between those two cars there. That was miraculous that Bell did not hit and drive through the 60, let alone go out there and win the race. The mere fact he saved that was just incredible. We end up going to overtime on this one. 3 wide again with Bell, Allgaier, and Jones. Wrecking to the checkers there with this one. So that was a really good Iowa race. I am glad I was able to watch that Xfinity race live versus having to go back and watch it on the DVR. Over to the standings. Christopher Bell holding strong in first. Sadler in second. Custer third. Hemric fourth. And Allgaier wraps up the top 5 in points. But Christopher Bell has a commanding playoff point lead with 24 over Justin Allgaier with 8 and Tyler Reddick with 6. So Bell is shaping up nicely for the playoffs as far as the playoff points are concerned. 7 races to go before the playoffs for the Xfinity Series. 7 races without Kyle Busch in the car. He's done with the Xfinity Series for the rest of the season. So we got some wild road courses coming up. We got the Glen, Bristol, Road America, Darlington before the playoffs. It could get a little dicey in the standings, maybe. Maybe a couple of these guys pull off a win here. Can Sadler get that win? Get some extra playoff points. Custer doesn't have a win yet this season and only has 1 playoff point. So these guys are going to be hungry as we go down the stretch, and that is going to be fun to watch there at the Glen this weekend. 2 road courses at Watkins Glen with the Xfinity and Cup Series. Speaking of Cup, can we talk about this qualifying nonsense? Really? 13 cars? Fail tech? Are we kidding here? 13 cars. Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, the front row, Logano, Bowyer, Larson, Almirola, Johnson, Menard, Dillon, Byron, Wallace, Kane. Really? 13 cars. Something's got to be done. All right. I get the whole process here of you know, why they did it in terms of doing inspection post. You know, I don't know what needs to be done. You know, everyone talks about, well, should we open up the rule book? Should we throw out the rule book? Should we tighten? I don't know. But the mere fact 13 cars failed inspection is ridiculous. That is unacceptable. But I'm doing a podcast as a fan. I don't have a solution other than to be able to say that that's nuts. Like, I'm not going to pretend to know the ins and outs of the inspection process. in terms of the whole laser system and all that, and what the cars and the setup was that they didn't pass. But I'll tell you what's going to happen if they do this next year at Pocono, qualifying it afterwards. You're going to have cars running maybe a little bit slower time. You're going to have guys that are going to bank on other guys and failing to be able to move up from qualifying in getting a better starting position that way than just going out there running the fastest lap, which that's the whole point of qualifying. So I'm just baffled by the whole situation. I don't understand why that happened, and something needs to be done about it, and I digress. That said, over to the race. Elliott wins stage one. Two races in a row. He's got some stage points there. Very nice. Kevin Harvick, stage two. What a race by Harvick. Yeah, you guys know I'm a Kevin Harvick fan, but to start from the back, get to the front, go to the back, get clipped on pit road, and still finish fourth. He definitely had the car to beat, and maybe even would have won it if not for the incident on pit road. Kyle Busch gets it done. We've got Harvick last week, Kyle Busch this week. Is it possible the big three win three in a row? Does Martin Truex Jr. go out at the Glen and get it done? I think that's a good possibility. I'm not even going to lie about that. The big three finish 1, 4th, and 15th. Like I said, these guys just started moving forward from the drop of the green flag, as we knew they would. There were some crazy amount of speeding penalties during this race, which was just crazy. Like, we're the stretch getting to the playoffs, and playoffs? We're going to have speeding penalties?
Playoffs?
Yep. Sorry. Couldn't resist with that trap. It needed to be done. That's all I can say. All right. Let's see. Like I said, I talked about it during the Pocono chat there with the trucks a little bit ago. We had some short pitting there by a lot of guys. Eric Jones pitted with three to go in stage one, as did Martin Truex Jr. to gain some track position to start stage two. These guys knew they weren't going to get that one playoff point. They're already a lock, so the couple extra maybe stage points they were going to get count towards the regular standings there. Was worth putting those on the line to get some track position and maybe either win stage two or eventually possibly go on to lead win the race. Let's see. Kurt was the first to pit during stage two. Harvick passed him as he exited pit road with 32 to go in stage two. Kurt made the pass back to get on the lead lap. Corey LaJoie brought out the yellow with about 17 to go in stage two. And during stage two, the 17, the 20, 11, 78, all pit with three to go. Byron stays out and makes it work on old tires to hold off the field for longer than I thought he was going to start stage three. The 42 knocks out the two. That was interesting to see that there. Got into Keselowski. 41 had a tire go down with 48 to go. The two had a tire go down and goes around as he was racing Jimmy Johnson. As I mentioned, Harvick had got damage on pit road, getting into it with Almirola. The yellow came out just as they passed the start-finish line as the double zero dropped some oil on the track. That was definitely confusing there. They drop the green flag. They throw the yellow right away. Listening to it on the scanner on RaceView, it made it sound like they were going to wave off the green, but they actually threw the green and then waved the yellow there. So that could have been a little dangerous there, but anyways, Kyle Busch checks out and sweeps the weekend at Pocono. I mean, when you just talk about Kyle Busch, you know, there's obviously the talk. Don't talk petty numbers until he's got 200 race wins in the Cup Series and all that. I don't buy that. The guy goes out there and went 49 Cup wins, 51 truck wins, 92 Xfinity wins, 192 total wins. Now tied with Tony Stewart, all-time win list. Could easily be in the top 10. All-time win list before the season is over. Just needs six more wins. And the rate these guys are winning, six wins isn't out of the question. Definitely will be in the top 10 by the end of next season, without question there. How about Bubba Wallace, man? Wow, scary. It's crazy how identical that was to Jimmy Johnson's wreck there last year. And almost the same reaction, too. Hopped out of the car and just went right down to the ground. I, like everybody else, thought that window net took a little while to go down. He joked that he didn't even cross his mind. And in just the good-hearted nature and character of Bubba Wallace is joking as soon as he gets out of the infield care center. Just a horrible wreck. Hate to see a mechanical failure like that to where, you know, something bad really could have happened there. So thank goodness everything panned out all right there. But just a scary wreck to see him fly through the grass like that and just right up into the wall. And he joked, I guess I'm too used to going left. I should have gone right. You know, it was just funny. And able to laugh now that we know that he was all right. That said, over to the standings for the Cup Series. Kyle Busch in first and holds a two-point playoff point lead over Kevin Harvick. The Glen, MIS, Bristol, Darlington, and Indy. That's it. We got one, two, three, four, five races left. Could someone potentially steal a win outside the top 16? I think if it's going to happen, everyone's going to be looking at the road course this weekend. Obviously, AJ Allmendinger is the one that comes up in debate with that, but I've got some notes on him a little bit later when I get to my picks. All right. That said, let's talk some social media real quick. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Download, subscribe, Instagram, or not Instagram. Well, there's an Instagram out there, but whatever. We'll deal with that at some point in time in the future. Subscribe, download on Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Blueberry, Acast, iTunes, Podbean. It's all out there. All right. You might have seen the tweet yesterday. The new contest has been revealed. All right. What is the new contest? At 3,500 followers, about 470 away, giving away a Lap Traffic t-shirt. Cool. No big deal there. I get it. But giving away a 124 diecast signed by Richard Childress to commemorate the RCR Museum, which is really cool. Forgot to check how many numbers and write down how many were produced of this car. But nonetheless, it is a sweet diecast that is, I think, pretty hard to find. I don't see it around. It's not available to purchase on RCR Shop anymore. I only saw like one on eBay. And it's, like I said, it's signed by Richard Childress, which is pretty cool. So I will give that away at 3,500 followers. And I still got the big giveaway, the quarter panel off the RPM car at 5,000. So help pushing it along. And thank you to everyone that has retweeted. Thank you to everyone that I know will continue to retweet and help spread word about the show. Very, very much appreciated. All right. Time for some new follower shout outs. Ben at Ben Paulson 8 from Minnesota. Big fan of dirt track racing. Logan at VLT Druid from Alabama and a big 48 fan. Thank you, Dale Jr. at Dale Jr. 88 Fan Nate from College Station, Texas. Dylan at DE Jr. 88 BK2MA98 from North Carolina. Some new junior fans on board. Very cool. And the real CK at NC underscore Wahoo from North Carolina and a big NASCAR fan as well. Welcome to the show, guys. Thanks for the follow. Check it out. Tell your friends. Don't forget, if you want some stickers and a koozie, to hit up the website, fill out the contact page, and I will get some out to you. Since it's the social media segment, big congratulations out to Kathleen at KHI Fan. Big Kevin Harvick fan, big fan of the show. Congratulations on your retirement. Hope you are able to enjoy it and soak it up. That's fairly very, very cool. Saw some of your tweets over the last couple days. I know you're excited. Congratulations. Are in order to Kathleen. So if you see her on Twitter, make sure you tell her congratulations. Let's see. What else? I think it's time for some weather. What do you guys say? All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back again, as he is each and every week, hopefully with another fantastic weather forecast. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather. Check out raceweather.net on the web. Mr. Aaron Studwell, sir, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am fantastic. What's going on in your world this week, sir?
Oh, a little bit of everything. If you go to my Twitter, like you said, at RaceWeather, you're going to see where I was on Weather Channel about a week and a half ago talking about the New Hampshire forecast. And if you watch it, you'll actually see that I was more accurate than the graphic they're actually putting up for the weather forecast for New Hampshire themselves.
Very nice.
So
very nice.
That's why you don't rely on the Weather Channel. You come to at RaceWeather. You go to raceweather.net and take care of you. Listen in here for the early outlooks.
There we go. I like that. That's fantastic. And that's very cool. That had to be a very cool thing to do there. A little cool experience.
Yeah, it was. It was. They called me or emailed me a couple days in advance and like, yeah, I can do it. And, the most interesting part was setting up the camera. We had to do it on Skype. And I have behind me on my computer isn't really as a big mirror, and that didn't work well. So brought my chair around, put it in front of the television, but then a Michigan helmet behind me.
Hell yeah.
Me and Bo, and yeah, go blue. But the thing was just stacked up and on like books and magazines, and I was afraid it was going to fall over. So I'm what I might do is I actually post that later too.
That's awesome. Speaking of go blue, dude, football is right around the corner. Like
yeah,
a month. Football, like, I'm pretty stoked about that, but it also means like summer's like right around the end too here, and it's July 31st, August 1st, but yeah, I know it seemed like summer took forever to get here, and the mere fact of football that just means fall, so it's like, man, but you know, typically into September, mid October, it's still relatively nice, so.
Yeah, definitely. And they're hoping that it holds up for the NASCAR weather as well.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of NASCAR weather, man, we got a gift, basically. Eh? I mean, Pocono, beautiful weather all weekend out there.
I know it held off. We're kind of looking, and I was kind of on the hoping maybe not side, and definitely maybe nodded. And no, it was a nice, easy weekend and good racing. And I know I enjoyed Xfinity out at Iowa, and
yeah.
Then you know, kind of dodged a couple raindrops there early on, and then pretty good race at Pocono on Sunday.
It ended up being a pretty darn good race. I was very impressed and pleased with the race. That's a couple racetracks this year that the racing has been better than expected. You know, we've had a few that weren't. You know, but you know, you look at back at Chicago. Pocono now this weekend, some tracks delivered that you wouldn't ordinarily expect to deliver on a race. So,
yeah, and again, that's another trend I hope holds going forward.
Absolutely. So what are we looking at? No trucks this weekend, but we got the Xfinity and Cup Series at the Glen, little road course racing. What's the early outlook looking like?
Well, for Xfinity practice on Friday, it looks rainy and showers and thunderstorms. So, but that is our lone day of weather. But I was looking at the schedule, and I got scared again. Cup qualifying is the last thing on the agenda on Saturday.
Yes.
And if they have the debacle, like they had in Pocono, and you go to the back here, oh, my gosh, you're just might as well just pack it in.
Right. Yeah, there's a little harder to pass at the Glen.
Yeah, but the forecast for once we get past Friday, Saturday, clearing skies. We'll have a little bit of residual early morning clouds from the Friday rains, but skies will clear out, highs in the mid-80s for Saturday and Sunday. Sunday probably cloudy. So once we get past that rainy Friday and the Xfinity Series practices, I think it looks good for a great weekend at the Glen.
Excellent. Well, I'm excited about that. So, all right, I'm just putting you on notice now. You better come strong next week leading in for MIS. That's all I'm saying. You better come good next week.
They raced twice at MIS.
You're going again. Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Oh.
Good. I will have, you know what, for you?
Yes.
You ask me.
Yes.
You ask me early, and then we will talk early.
All right.
Early if you want.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, I'll shoot you a text this week. I'll shoot you a Sunday text. I'll need as soon as the checker drops at Watkins, I'm going to text you and be like, dude, all right, it's MIS week officially now. What are we getting?
What do you have?
Oh, that's fantastic. All righty, sir. Thank you. As always, everyone, make sure you're checking out Aaron at RaceWeather on Twitter. More accurate than the Weather Channel. So if you want accurate information, you're going to get it here at Lap Traffic and at RaceWeather on Twitter. Sir, have a fantastic week, and we will talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy the racing.
Thanks.
Have a great week.
Thanks, man. We'll see you. Always fun talking with Mr. Aaron Studwell there. Make sure you check him out on social media and on his the website, raceweather.net. All right, it is time for some lucky dogs. All right, I'm going to give you guys my picks right off the bat. My lucky dog of the race weekend, Daniel Suarez, second place finish at Pocono. That team's talking about getting a win, which is something that they definitely need to get into the playoffs because they are sitting outside the top 16. He wants to be a spoiler and finish second there. You know, there were a lot of guys that finished outside of what we normally would have expected them to at Pocono. Martin Truex Jr. finished 15th. Jimmy Johnson finished 17th. And then you had guys like Ryan Newman finishing 8th. Denny Hamlin, who's had quite a few wins at Pocono, finished 10th. Clint Boyer 11th. But Eric Jones finished 5th. Byron 6th. So there was definitely some guys that finished outside probably the top 10 that we wouldn't have ordinarily expected to. That said, my other lucky dog is to Bubba Wallace there, because that was just a crazy hit and just very lucky and thankful that he is all right. My lap down, going to NASCAR. Length of stage breaks and the wasting of valuable track mileage out there with these stage breaks. So that is my lap down. Over to your tweeted responses. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog. It's a tie. Bubba, thank God for safety improvements. And Team Chevy, 4 in the top 10. Yeah, Team Chevy definitely came to play at Pocono. It was normally the Fords and Toyotas, and Chevy let everybody know, hey, maybe we're getting something going on here. Lap down, Team Penske. Bad day for all three drivers. Captain Redneck at Redneck _ Captain's lucky dog Bubba for walking away, and also Bowman finishing P3. Lap down, Harvick and Almirola contact on pit road. Should have been another checkers for Harvick. Mick at GoDucks42_Mick's lucky dog Almirola, that Matt DiBenedetto didn't open up a can of whoop ass on him. Yeah, that was definitely a little interesting situation there at the end of the race with DiBenedetto and Almirola there. You know, racing for position back in the field there. I'm kind of surprised by all that, to be honest with you. Lap down, having Indy and Cup race at the same time. Brett at BWayne8589's lucky dog Christopher Bell on a great run at Iowa, making it 3 straight wins. Lap down, Bubba's tough breaks. Yeah, you know, you could look at it as lucky dog or lap down in terms of just really ever since Daytona, finishing second, hasn't really been able to put together a solid, you know, string of races there by any means. But like I said, fortunately walked away from that one there. All right. It is time to get over to the Wave Around Hotline with a record setting 5 calls for the lucky dog and lap down picks, which I am very excited about. All right, let's get to the first call.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen at KHI Fan. Pocono sure didn't disappoint this week, in my opinion. There was pretty good amount of action going on throughout the whole race, and I thought it was a great race. I completely enjoyed it. My lucky dog is the fact that we saw a bunch of not usual suspects finish in the top 10 today. Most of them were young guns. We had Suarez, Bowman was up there, Byron was up there, Jones was up there, and we even had Ryan Newman. So that was kind of refreshing to see a bunch of guys like that could get a really good finish today. My lap down is the fact that there were apparently some people on Twitter who were saying not fond things of Bubba after that horrible, horrible wreck. And that is just so not cool. There's absolutely no reason for anybody to say anything. You know, if you don't like him as a driver or a person or whatever, you know, that's one thing. But to say some horrible things about him is another thing. So those people they're more than just a lap down, but I won't say anything else about that. Anywho, once again, it was a great race, and I completely enjoyed it. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, thanks for calling in, Kathleen. Appreciate that. Yeah, you and I are on the same page there in terms of the Young Guns finishing in the top 10. A couple surprises there. And yeah, definitely, you know, I don't get some of the negative stuff on social media. I think that just comes with the territory. That is what it is. Over to caller number two.
Hey, Brandon. This is Tim Triplett at TTRIP14, I think. Something like that. Might be 71. But anyways, lucky dog has to be Bubba Wallace for taking that hard hit and getting out of the car and flat down as Daniel Suarez just missed the bottom in that one corner. But I don't know if he had anything for him. For his teammate Kyle Busch. Talk to you later. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, Tim, thanks for calling in. Appreciate that. Tim, loyal tweeter of his lucky dog and lapdown picks, calling into the waiver on hotline. Appreciate that. Yeah, it is a constant theme this evening here on the lucky dog segment with Bubba Wallace there. Absolutely. And yeah, Suarez maybe would have had something for him. Who knows? But appreciate the call, man. Let's get to call number three.
Hey, Brandon, it's that annoying guy who calls in every week, calling back in again. So I think we saw a really good race at Pocono. I'm a little biased about Pocono since it's kind of like my childhood track growing up, so I've always been a little biased. But all in all, I thought it was a good race. Thankfully, Bubba's okay. That one scared the living crap out of me when I saw that. I'm like, wow. She's had really bad accidents in Turn 1 over the years, and unfortunately, we saw another one yesterday, but thankfully Bubba's okay and walked out. The chase bubble hasn't, playoff bubble, whatever the hell they're calling it now, hasn't changed. Probably won't change unless my lucky dog in the race, Daniel Suarez, gets a win, because that guy ran really, really well. And you got to wonder if he's going to maybe sneak out a win. I don't think he will, but you just never know. Lap down, I'm going to say Truex. That team has been very hit or miss this year, but when they're on, they're on. So it has me wondering, maybe they're missing because they're really trying something different, and that could be really scary for the field come playoff time. Talk to you later, man.
Always love when Mr. Andrew Cantian calls in. All right. I'm going to highlight a point that Andrew made there with Daniel Suarez being the guy that could potentially play spoiler to the top 16. I don't disagree that he could potentially be the guy to get it done. And when I look at what track he could potentially do it, I'm looking at Bristol. Suarez has 6 attempts at Bristol. He's got a 2nd, a 5th, a 6th, a 30th, a 3rd and a 2nd place finish at Bristol. 2 P2s, a 3rd, a 5th, a 6th, 1 outlier with a 30th. Assuming that was a wreck, I didn't go back and look too much into that. But 5 top 6 finishes at Bristol. Yeah, I would definitely be looking at Daniel Suarez at Bristol here in a couple weeks to get that done. All right, let's go to caller number 4.
Brandon, what's going on? This is Eddie, a.k.a. EG3, and you guys can follow me at 3Wide_FastEddie, and I also have a NASCAR podcast called 3Wide with EG3. Pocono, that was an interesting race, especially now with the Chevy camp starting to show some muscle. It'll be interesting to see how they do in a couple of weeks at MIS. That's going to be the true test to see how far they come. My lucky dog goes out to Bubba. In all my years of watching this sport, that was one of the hardest, if not the hardest hit that I've seen in quite some time. That was a scary moment right there for not only just me, but I'm sure for everybody who watched that race. My heart completely stopped. Thank the good Lord that Bubba was able to walk away from that and was able to be himself somehow during his post-race interview with NBCSN. And then my lap down goes to Team Penske as a whole. They said they were close after their second and third place finishes at Kentucky a few weeks back, but finishes of 12th by Blaney, 26th by Logano, and 38th by Keselowski, even though he had stage points, is going back the other direction. That's not going to cut it if they're going to go deep into the postseason. Looking forward to the Glen. It's going to be an exciting race. I love some road course racing. So, anyways, I'll talk to you later. Have a good rest of your week.
Hey, Eddie, man, thanks so much for calling in. Make sure you are checking out Eddie. If you want more NASCAR content, he's got it for you. Make sure you check out his show as well. There's so much content out there. It's awesome. Man, you guys are on the ball in terms of your lucky dogs. Everyone recognizing just how scary that wreck was. Talking about Penske, Chevy. Man, everyone's keeping an eye on Team Chevy. And Eddie, I don't disagree. MIS, the manufacturer's playground, if you will. Who's going to get manufacturer supremacy bragging rights here next week at MIS? I am looking very forward to that one. Thanks for calling in. All right, over to the final call of the night on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon, this is John Elliott, Twitter account DNator. Well, that Pocono race wasn't a yawn fest as we all thought it was going to be. What about that? Let's see. Lucky Dog. Ah, Daniel Suarez. Oh my gosh, that was a great run by him. I was expecting that run soon. Oh, I hope he gets his first win soon. Oh my gosh. Lap down. You know, when there are four cars going for the lead, you don't cut to commercials like what NBC did at the Xfinity race. Seriously, you do not do that. All right, that's enough for me. Have a good one, Brandon. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Oh, thanks, John, for calling in. Appreciate that. Like, oh, man, you guys are dialed in with your picks this week. I love it. Suarez definitely looking to dial it in, I'm telling you. And, you know, the stage breaks in terms of the laps, that's on NASCAR. But, yeah, you know, the coverage, when you pull away like that, when you can visibly see on-track action going on there, you know, it is what it is. You know, my running joke is guaranteed first caution of the race, if it's not to end the stage, is going to be during commercial. It seems to happen without fail. So anyways, man, you guys, awesome. 1 week after the listener call-in show, and we get five calls on the Wave Around Hotline for the Lucky Dog and Lapdown picks. That's freaking awesome. I tweet out the number if you guys want to write it down, 248-965-9538. You can call anytime after the checkered flag drops until Monday, Tuesday, and leave your picks there. Or, as always, you can tweet them, and I will read them. All right. Whew, that was fun. All right, let's get to some fantasy. Just a reminder to get your picks in by 5 o'clock on Friday. Keep the Twitter interaction up and going. Week 9 of segment 2, no one was able to pick the truck winner, as it was Kyle Busch. And just to add a little disclaimer as to how the whole situation was handled with Noah Gregson and Eric Jones, if you had submitted your pick prior to 5 o'clock on Friday and you had picked Noah Gregson, it was only fair to allow Eric Jones's points to count for you in the lap traffic fantasy. Yeah, typically you can't pick a cup driver, but since that was last minute, your pick had already been in for Noah Gregson. Definitely not going to penalize. Did get some requests to make the change to Eric Jones / Noah Gregson once people knew. Didn't let that happen because that wasn't your initial pick to begin with. So that's kind of how that played out. I think that was the fairest way to do it. That said, 15 players picked Christopher Bell for the Xfinity Series win, and only two players, our veteran weather guy, Mr. Aaron Studwell, and David James, took Kyle Busch in the Cup race. Week high was 152 points by Amanda Pugh with her picks of Harvick, Bell, and Gregson / Jones. And Mr. Aaron Studwell had second place this week with 147 with Busch, Bell, and Gregson / Jones. Over to the top 10 in standings. Chad Robb holding strong in first with 968. David in second with 933. Timothy Triplett in third with 921. Matt Fossum in fourth with 903. Kathleen McDonald up to fifth with 899. John Entwistle in sixth with 893. Jeff Hess in seventh with 885. Amanda Pugh in eighth with 877. Two-way tie for ninth with Aaron Lamp and Jeff Legg with 869. And Chris Lowther wraps out the top 10 with 868. Over to the cumulative standings. Are you guys ready for this? It has taken till week number 9 of segment 2 for Chloe Yunker to get dethroned in the cumulative standings. John Entwistle is now in first overall with 2,246. Chloe has dropped to second with 2,232. Still not over by any means, but Chloe has been holding strong for a very long time there. In third is Tommy Witt with 2,179. Chad Robb in fourth with 2,174. And David James in fifth with 2,142. My picks did okay. I had Enfinger in the Truck Series who finished fifth. Hemrick I had in the Xfinity Series who was holding strong there till he got involved in a late race wreck, finished 11th. And Almirola, well, didn't have the best day at the Cup Series there at Pocono. All right, that said, so the MOATF podcast, who I hope you guys are listening to because they are really fun to listen, have issued me a challenge, and mainly David at the MOATF podcast has issued me a challenge. Something to do with if Harvick or Busch finish better. And to I'm not sure the full challenge there, whether it's regarding at a specific race, if it was the most number of wins in the season between the two, or if it's their overall finish in the standings. Regardless, the challenge is obviously accepted. Now, the challenge was to wear a shirt that the loser would have to wear, that the winner would send. And I assume this shirt would have be made up with some, you know, if I win, obviously, David's going to have to wear a shirt that says, like, Harvick, best driver of all time kind of thing. And vice versa, if Kyle Busch wins, I'm going to have to win something Kyle Busch related. But he had made the suggestion to wear it to a track. And I don't think that's humiliating enough, personally. I think it should be via Periscope. The loser has to do a Periscope wearing and displaying the shirt and, you know, just talking about how awesome that particular driver is. So I'm kind of counter challenging there with that option there. So we will look forward to seeing if David at the MOATF podcast accepts the re-challenge to their challenge, which is accepted and always up for making things entertaining there. So challenge accepted, and look forward to the constant battle with those guys in the lap traffic fantasy. That said, let's get to some picks. This weekend, we head to Watkins Glen for some road course racing. The ringers of old aren't really factors anymore. Everyone likes to talk AJ Allmendinger, but I mentioned I had some facts on him. Since his last win at the Glen in 2014, road courses, here's how he's finished: 37th, 14th, 35th, and 38th at Sonoma, 24th, 4th, and 9th at the Glen. So the Glen has been more favorable to him. Can he keep his cool and play spoiler this weekend? What about Martin Truex Jr.? Won at the Glen last year and would make it 3 in a row for the big 3 if he pulls off and gets the checker flag this weekend. The last 2 weeks, one of the big 3 have won. Does Truex get it done back-to-back at the Glen and make it 3 in a row with the big 3 getting a win? We will find out this weekend. Right now, it's time for my picks. There is no truck race. Over to the Xfinity Series. I am going with Mr. Justin Allgaier. Haven't taken him in a while, and I think he could potentially play spoiler and pick up the win. Over to the Cup Series, I am going with Clint Bowyer. I contemplated Suarez, but no. I'm going with Bowyer. I'm saving Suarez. You guys probably already know for Bristol, as I'm sure a lot of you guys are going to do. All right, that's my picks for this weekend as we head to Watkins Glen. And that is going to do it for episode 83 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download, all that good shit. Don't forget about the new giveaway, 3,500 followers giving away. Lap Traffic t-shirt and the autographed Richard Childress diecast. Huge thanks to MIS track president Rick Brenner for coming on the show this week. The road to MIS continues next week with two shows, the Tuesday show and the bonus show Friday from MIS Media Center. Working on a guest for next Tuesday show. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm out of here. See ya.